from my heart and from my hand. Why don't people understand my intention?
Computer running slow.
I'm waiting.
Caught a virus? Does your computer seem to have a life of its own?
Malfunction. Need input.
The computer guru is here.
My God, you're here!
Call in now. 751-1041. That's 751-1041.
Now it's Mike Swanson,
your computer guru.
On 1041, The Truth. Tucson's News Talk FM.
Welcome to the Computer Guru Show. My name's Mike, here to deal with your technology needs and treat you like a real person in the process. 520-751-1041 if you'd like to be part of the show. That's 520-751-1041. Take care of whatever technology issues are ailing you today. What? Don't look at me like that.
I didn't say nothing.
All right. So, yeah, it's already been a contentious morning in the studio.
Don't look at me in that tone of voice.
Yeah, that's right. There's fighting going on in here today. All right, so...
That's because we're all hyped up with this iPad juice. Like, don't even get me started.
Did you just say iPad juice?
Yes, iPad juice.
That's what all iPads should be reduced to.
Juice.
Yep.
Wait, because I know that you were talking about buying one.
The iPad 1, because now it should be pretty cheap now that there's a new iPad out on the market.
Okay.
My only gripe with the iPads ever was that they're just not worth the $7 million that they try to charge for them when they first come out.
Okay. And, what are you basing that on?
Well, I mean, there's equivalent tablets on the market that are way cheaper.
I'm sorry. You know what? I play with a lot of tablets, and I have yet to mess with a tablet that's equivalent to the iPad. I'm sorry. And I don't like Apple, but if there's nothing equivalent to the iPad.
Well, that's because you're playing with all the other tablets while you're still wearing your fedora, and you got to take that off.
He's saying quit being a hipster.
Yep, pretty much.
We're using PC safe words by calling me hipster, not the other word.
It's just so wrong.
Oh,
man. Okay, so the iPad 3 is big news.
Yeah, big news.
Or the new iPad or whatever they're calling it.
Yeah, you can't call it the iPad 3.
No? No.
It's technically not the iPad 3.
Yep.
All right, third generation iPad.
There you go.
All right, so what are the hippest features of this, seeing that it's a hipster thing?
The big thing has got to be the screen. I mean, that's the one thing that stands out to me the most out of anything.
Well, everybody was expecting a higher res screen, but... how they did it and how high res is absolutely amazing. It really is. I mean, it has four times the pixels that the iPad 2 has, which is absolutely incredible. I think they said that to get the same sort of resolution, you'd have to go to like a 27-inch high-def TV to get the same sort of resolution.
They were even saying that the iPad has more pixels in it as far as density goes than most high-definition televisions.
As far as density goes, yes.
Yeah.
And the technology they used to make this happen is absolutely amazing. I saw a video on it, and I just couldn't believe it. So when you get the electrical devices too close to each other, you get cross interference, right?
Right.
A lot of times. Well, that same thing would happen if you try to pack so many pixels into one small area, you get cross interference, especially on the board. So what they had to do is they actually had to raise the LEDs themselves up off the board. It's minuscule. You probably can't see it, but they're actually raised up off the board so you don't get that cross interference, so they can jam more pixels into the board.
So is that why the new iPad is actually a fraction thicker than the old
iPad? iPad 2, yeah. Yes. I think it's about, it's still smaller than the iPad 1, but it is thicker than the iPad 2.
Well, I mean, you've got to have extra battery in there. You've got,
right.
You know. Lots of extra graphics in there.
Right. So, I mean, like I said, the only real thing that really shocked people about the new iPad is, the 4G. I mean, that shocked a lot of people.
I mean, the GPU in there is pretty awesome. They're saying it might be the same one that Sony used in the PlayStation Vita.
Yeah.
It's a quad-core GPU.
Right.
Which is amazing in a handheld device.
You know, we've actually heard a lot of misquotes this last couple of days. That some people were saying it had a quad-core processor.
It
does not. It's a
dual-core.
And a quad-core graphics processor, or GPU.
Okay. So either way, there is a quad-core processor.
There is a quad-core of some nature in there.
I mean,
yes.
It still astounds me that, like, these new devices that are coming out of a dual-core processor that's faster than, like, many computers that people are still using today.
Right.
Most.
Yeah. Like, it's the dual-core in there is probably faster than the laptop I'm using right now.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I can appreciate a display that is... gorgeous, right?
Right.
The problem is I think that you start packing the pixels in there like that, and you look at most people, right, where they're like, I got to put my glasses on to see anything, and even still, they got the thing like 4 inches away from their face. All right, so, I mean, if you make the display that nice, there's a lot of people that's going to be lost on. As far as
well, there might be, yes.
Yeah, just think
what they should do is just hand out optometry certificates when you buy the iPad, so that you can go down and get your eyes checked out.
But make sure that you can use it.
Otherwise, you might as well just get the 2.
Well, you know what? I mean, myself, I mean, that's why I never got the 2, because I never saw enough benefit to go from the 1 to the 2. I mean, it was, yay, it has a camera, whoopee, it's a little bit thinner, I don't care. You know, there wasn't really
the
no
speed difference,
benefit.
By the way, is huge. Now, I don't really notice it when I'm, like, I have an iPad 1 and an
right.
iPad 2.
Right.
My daughter mainly uses the 1.
Right.
All right, but, I think the battery's dead on the other one. So I was using the 1 for a day.
Right.
And it was so much slower. I was just like, I was irritated with it.
I guess it's going back to one of those things, you don't know what you're missing because you don't have it. And I never had the iPad 2. I played with yours a few times and I just wasn't impressed. I mean, it was an iPad. That's great. I absolutely love it. But I couldn't justify buying a new one for, you know, a camera.
Now, is the overall speed supposed to be improved over on
the new one? Yes. Yeah, the new one, overall speeds, graphics, everything is...
They've got 4G in there now, so that's improving web speeds.
Yeah, that's what really surprised everybody. Everybody was expecting the better battery life and, you know, the resolution and all that stuff. What really surprised people was the 4G, and that's just a clue of things to come for the iPhone 5. And if the iPad's got the 4G, then iPhone 5 definitely better have it.
You mean the iPhone 14?
I
mean,
the only reason I ended up with the Droid Razr versus the iPhone
right.
was that I could not go back to 3G.
Right, yeah, right.
I found myself sort of going, oh, no, I just can't do it. You know, I will get the Razr instead.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I got the Max, though, because, man, I chew through battery on this thing. I'm freezing. All right, let's take a call here. If you'd like to be part of the show, 751-1041. We'd love to help you out. This is Brian. Hello, Brian. How are you?
Hey, boys. How you doing?
Great.
Hey, good. I'm calling you from New York.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. I love it when our remote listeners call us.
Well, there you go. Actually, my mother lives down here in Oro Valley. I went to one of your classes down there on Fort Lowell.
Ah, nice.
And, Mike, if you remember, before Christmas, I showed up at the store over there waiting for a class, and I was the only one that showed up.
Yeah, I remember.
All right, very good. Got a quick question for you.
Sure.
The family is running a Dell XP, I guess, from 2006, and it sounds like it's coming up to its useful life.
Right.
What would you suggest as far as a replacement?
Well, what's the budget?
Let's say $1,000 is a cutoff.
Oh, well, for $1,000, you can make yourself a really snazzy machine.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so we're talking about desktop, right?
Yeah.
All right, now, basically anywhere between the $500 to around $1,000 mark, they're basically all cookie-cutter machines.
Okay.
So it doesn't really matter which brand you're looking at for the most part. The only real guide that we give you is that it should have as much memory as it'll take,
mm-hmm.
and it should not have an AMD processor. Now,
okay.
I know I get some grief because, you know, I've had some people come into the shop and be like, why are you bagging on AMDs? And the thing is that, you know, these people come in and say, well, I've been using AMDs my whole life and I've never had a problem. But the thing is that when you put like 5,000 machines a year through like my business,
mm-hmm.
right, we see patterns.
Right.
And those patterns start to emerge the more machines you have come into the office.
Right.
So, you know, a lot of the AMD machines we see problems with. Same thing when you're dealing with ATI video cards or, you know, these other types of things where by itself in a small, you know, control group, you're not going to see really large problems.
Mm-hmm.
But when you start getting lots and lots of machines all together, you start to see, well, all those machines seem to have the same types of problems.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that you want to get yourself a nice, at the $1,000 mark, you're going to be looking at like an i7 machine. You're going to have at least 8 gigs of RAM on it, probably more. And, you know, a couple terabytes of space.
Mm-hmm.
And preferably rated together, because I'm thinking that all machines now should have mirror RAIDs in them at the very least.
Right.
And so you can do something really nice with that kind of a budget.
Okay. Now, what about as far as where one should buy one up here? Because I'm only going to be up here a couple of weeks, and I guess I'm the one that's going to be doing it.
Okay.
Either like the Best Buy deal or go... Well, what would you suggest?
You know, I hate telling you to go to someplace like that, but if you're in a time crunch where you're looking at, you know, you want to get something done within a few days,
mm-hmm.
then you're probably going to end up going to somewhere like, you know, to Costco or Sam's Club or even if it comes down to it, Best Buy.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of Best Buy myself, but, I mean, if that's where the deal's at, that's where the deal's at, you got to go.
Right.
I mean, you just got to go there. I'm all about saving a buck. So
okay, would it be necessary to buy a new monitor? to
generally not necessary, but the new machines are going to come with like DVI and HDMI adapters on them in most cases, especially at that price point where you're looking at a $1,000 machine.
Right, and you can usually get it for $1,000, you know, if you do go to Best Buy, you're going to get packages and stuff like that.
Right.
So it'd be nice, especially, you know, you're buying this for your mother, you probably want a larger screen on there, make it easier for her to see.
Right.
So, yeah, go ahead and, you know, you're not going to be wasting any money at that price point. Now, the reason I say that is because a lot of people, they'll go out and they'll buy these $300 machines or $400 computers.
Right.
And when you do that, it's basically you're just burning money.
For example, I mean, we just had a business client of ours. They bought a full office full of $300 machines.
Right.
And we've already, I think they bought 12 of them or something like that.
Right.
We've already replaced four of them. And right. this was 3 weeks ago. They bought them.
All right. So if you, there's the adage that you get what you pay for is absolutely true.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Very good.
And so, you know, if you're up at that price point, then, you know, you're going to get yourself a $700 or $800 machine and a $150 monitor.
Right.
All right.
Good.
So that'll work out pretty well for her.
Good. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
We'll see you guys when we get back.
All right. Thanks.
Take care. Bye-bye.
If you'd like to be part of the show, 751-1041. We'll see what we can do to help you out with whatever technology issues are ailing you. And we'll be right back.
This is the Computer Guru.
When we get back, what do we got going on here, Randall?
Oh, man. We got the FCC's mad at Verizon. We got Facebook is making marital problems.
I heard there was something with a cruise ship that we could talk about.
Yeah, the cruise ship. Okay. Mythbusters.
More to come when we get back on the Computer Guru Show right here on 104.1 The Truth, Tucson's News Talk FM.
Is the Computer Guru.
Give him a call now at 751-1041.
Now,
back to more of the Computer Guru Radio Show.
On 104.1, The Truth.
Show. My name is Mike, here to deal with your technology needs and treat you like a real person in the process. 751-1041 if you'd like to be part of the show. Once again, it's 520-751-1041. And we will take another call here. Hold on, I got to get to the name on the other screen.
Is it John?
Yeah, it's John. Hey, John, how are you?
Yeah, just fine. How are you today?
I'm fantastic. How can I help you?
Well, I have a Pentium 4 with just a DV drive and a couple of megabytes of RAM. And, you know, it just died on me, you know, and when I rebooted, you know, and only the power light came on and the hard drive light came on and stayed on. And I replaced the power supply and immediately started working fine. And I let it run on standby for about 3 days. It's in a room. It's cold. It's maybe 63, 64 degrees. And I have exact same symptoms again, you know, so I'm pretty sure the power supply blew again. But the question is, what could cause the power supply to blow like that, you know, two in a row?
Well, I'm not convinced that the power supply did blow.
Or the power supply was, I mean, usually when a power supply does go out, it usually takes something else with it. So it's entirely possible if it was the power supply that it took something else out with it, and when you replace the power supply, it was a momentary patch, then it got shot again.
Yeah, I don't think so.
But what are you thinking?
I'm thinking that the board,
mm-hmm.
the switching on the board is bad.
Okay.
So simply the fact of unplugging the old power supply,
power draining it,
discharges it enough that it'll restart when you plug it back in.
Right.
Oh, so it's motherboard shot probably, then not the power supply. The one I threw away, which is 450 instead of the 350 I put there, won't make any difference then.
Probably not. Especially seeing it's in the trash.
Oh, it's long gone now.
So I bet that it's a board problem rather than the power supply.
I'm sure it's not in the trash. I'm sure he recycled it.
Yeah, he recycled it properly in accordance with all EPA violation. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Anyway, so you think it's likely that, and I just need to put a new board in it then.
Or just get yourself a new machine.
Yeah, if you're looking at a Pentium 4, it's probably not going to be worth the repair.
Well, I agree with that. I have, that was one I just had used for special use, you know,
and
it's one of the few I have that will use my old LaserJet 4 or LaserJet 6.
Oh, wow. L6, nice.
Yeah, so even on a, there's a way of getting around that, by the way. You'd still like to use the L6. What you can do is you can get a parallel print server. And you can force, there's a driver that's out there for the older LaserJets.
Yeah.
For the 3, 4, 5, and 6 series.
Okay.
So you can get a parallel print server. It's fairly inexpensive. You can pick them up at SWS. I think they're like 30 or 40 yeah, bucks or something like that. Yeah.
Okay, well, most motherboards now, they've only got one slot on them, so you put another card in them for anything.
Right, well, you won't need to put a card in if you're getting a parallel print server. It'll do it over the network.
Right.
Oh, I see. I see what you're saying. I can actually run that printer as a network printer.
Correct.
Yeah, okay.
And that's cheaper than a machine, too.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, thank you very much.
All right, well, good luck
with
that.
Right, bye.
Bye. That's very nice.
Man, Pentium 4 processors were perfect playing high-def games like Minesweeper, Solitaire.
Reversey.
Reversey. That's the big one.
High-speed Reversey right there. Let's talk to Tom. Hey, Tom, how are you?
I'm fine. I've got a desktop that's entering old age, and I'm considering converting to a Mac. Can you tell me how complex it is to get those files and programs over onto a Mac from a desktop?
Well, let me ask a couple questions first. Why are you wanting a Mac?
Are you going to go the hater route already?
No, I just want to know what his motive is.
All right, well, let's hear about the motivation.
Truth be told, my wife wants one.
Well, you can't argue with that.
Then you're getting a Mac.
Literally can't.
just cannot. All right, so what are you looking to transfer over?
My Word document files primarily, because that's what I have in my photographs.
Okay. All right, so both of those things are easy to transfer as far as data is concerned.
In fact, when you first set up the Mac, it'll actually ask you if you want to do that from a PC. It'll actually transfer it from your PC if they're both on the network at the same time.
Okay, now how about the question about business platforms that are still, what software exists to make sure that a Mac can read?
Well, if you're dealing with Office documents... All right, there's Office for Mac. Microsoft makes a version of Office for the Macintosh platform. So, and it'll come with a trial in most cases on those, or you can purchase a copy of Office for Mac, which will make all that stuff work.
Or you can import everything into Google Docs.
Google Docs would work.
Right, or you can go to Google Docs.
And that's free.
Okay, so you're telling me that my wife's encouragement is not a difficult decision to either implement or to convert.
Well, here's the difficult part. Have you ever used a Mac before?
Yeah, but not a lot.
Okay, everything's completely backwards when you know.
All right, you don't have to be that dramatic.
No, I'm just saying. I mean,
it's a little bit different.
It's right? A bit of a learning curve.
You have to think a little differently, as their logo says, in order to use the Mac, as their slogan says. But so... If that's what she wants, of course, that's what she's going to get. And then secondly, it's not all that hard to do. So the answer is, it's not that difficult.
Okay. I appreciate the words of encouragement. My wife will be happy to hear that.
Excellent. And when you guys do get lost, you know who to call.
Thanks very much.
All right. Thanks
see you
for
later.
The call.
Bye-bye.
Why are you being a hater?
I'm not trying to be a hater. I want to make
you're
sure
being
people
awfully
go,
negative
no, no, no,
today.
No. I want to make sure people go into a Mac purchase. That's a big purchase. Go into a Mac purchase with their eyes completely open to what they're going to go into.
It is a big purchase. You've got to buy like a whole new wardrobe and start hanging out at Starbucks all the time.
Fedora.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, my word.
Skinny
all right. Listen. James, how are you, James?
Hello.
How can I help you?
I'm having a USB driver or USB failure on my PC where I've got like five USB ports and every single one of them quit working.
Right.
And I've reformatted my computer and reinstalled Windows, and that didn't correct.
Right,
because
it's a hardware issue.
Yeah, because you killed
it.
Right. Now, are you talking like all of them on the back or all of them on the front or both?
Both.
All right,
yeah,
so... You killed the 5-volt bus, is mm-hmm. what happened.
Okay. So, and is that something that you guys can repair, or is that like a motherboard?
It's a motherboard replacement.
Okay, so if I have... So, geez. So if I take that down to you guys, I guess the whole motherboard needs to be replaced, and then I can re-put in my graphics cards and everything like that, or...
Yeah, as long as you get a like board. All right, so you get a board that's similar to the one that you took out, then yes.
Okay, all right.
And we're happy to do that for you.
Okay, cool. And what does something like that usually cost in a range?
You're probably looking at about 1 to 2 hours of labor, and then the cost of the board.
Okay, all righty.
Okay.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
All right, appreciate the call. And we can squeeze another one in here. If you'd like to be part of the show, 751-1041. Let's talk to Brian.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. How about yourself?
Hey, I'm doing all right. I have a Lenovo V570 laptop. It has a fingerprint reader. When I first bought it, maybe about 2 months ago, we used a fingerprint reader. and it, you know, it opened up windows and all that kind of thing.
Right.
But it started to freeze on me, and I kept looking online forums, and it said that there's a problem with the fingerprint reader, so I uninstalled it, reinstalled the drivers, all that whole deal, but it still kept freezing on me, so I finally, like, disabled it. Have you guys heard anything about that, or... Well, another solution.
I know that there were some problems with the TPM modules in certain models of Lenovo and IBM products.
Uh-huh.
And you can just turn that off in the BIOS.
Yeah, that's what I've done. I just turned it off, so it's kind of like a pointless feature.
Now, is there a firmware upgrade for your model?
I've not seen. I mean, it's only a couple months old. I want to think it's...
Yeah, I'd check for a firmware upgrade.
Firmware, okay.
All right, because especially when the machines are new, that's when the firmwares are really going to start coming out, because as soon as they start putting them into mass production, they're going to start seeing all these other problems. And usually in the first maybe 2 years of a new product, a new laptop that's out there, you'll see 3 or 4 BIOS updates.
Oh, okay.
Where they're fixing stuff. So I would check for a BIOS update and see if that fixes it for you.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. I very much appreciate the call. And if you'd like to be part of the show, we'd love to hear from you. 751-1041. Now, give me a preview of this cruise ship thing here. What's this about, Rob?
Oh, that's a pretty interesting story. Everybody heard about the cruise ship that capsized. I think it was a couple weeks ago or a couple months ago or something.
Right, and then the sister ship that had to be towed because of a generator fire, right?
Yeah. So apparently this ship has now been emptied of all its chemicals, and now they want to try to have to figure out what to do with it.
They're trying not to have to destroy it because it's a $600 million ship and they only built it a couple years ago, so they got a kind of interesting solution.
It's an expensive artificial reef is what that is.
Yeah, pretty much.
This is the Computer Guru.
Well, at least the fishes all have a nice place to hang out.
Now they got a cool way to how they want to get it up. We'll talk about that after the break.
All right, this is the Computer Guru Show right here on 104.1 The Truth, Tucson's Newstalk FM.
Viruses to spyware. If your machine is acting strange,
the Computer Guru
is here to help. Call 751-1041 and get your problem solved.
On 104.1 The Truth.
Welcome back to the Computer Guru Show. My name is Mike, here to deal with your technology needs and treat you like a real person in the process. We'll do some roll call here. We got Randall and Rob doing their thing here. You guys are an integral part of the show.
Uh-huh.
Except for I don't really need you.
Uh-huh.
And
I knew there was a hook somewhere.
We got Tony doing the boards and the phones. Very nice. He's getting so much better. I'm very happy with the Tony here.
Now the pressure's on. Now he's going to mess up.
Yeah, I was just going to say great. Thanks. Thanks for that one. Let's find out if the epic fail button's working. All right, so let's go ahead and take another caller. Let's talk to Adam. Hello, Adam. How are you?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Great show. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome. How may I help you?
I've had the blue screen of death twice today, or yesterday, actually. And I actually copy and pasted it into Notepad now. It's a bunch of BC code, BC1, BCP1, P2, P3, P4. I've never seen one like this.
Let's start with the first one.
BC code 116.
116, huh? All right.
Is it Windows 7?
I'm sorry? Yes, it is. 64-bit.
And when did this start happening? Just today?
Yesterday.
And yesterday. What happened? Is there anything that changed? Do you get an update? Change hardware? Spill a soda on it?
No, I think the only thing I did was actually
on the floor.
Updated my drivers for my video card.
Aha! Uh-huh. What kind of video card do you have?
I have the dreaded AMD.
ATI?
Or ATI, yeah.
Yeah.
But I haven't never had a problem with it.
Okay, until now.
Well, this goes back.
You're assuming.
This goes back to what I've always said. If it's not broke, don't fix it. If your graphics card's working good, leave it alone.
What
Well, he probably had to get an update for
StarCraft
something.
StarCraft, don't want my pixels going bad on StarCraft.
All right, you got to keep your pixels fresh.
I hate it when my pixels go bad.
But I actually have another ATI card on another machine, and I've had that one since 2005, and it works great, no problems.
Fantastic. All right, so
50-50.
All right, here's what I would suggest that you try doing.
Okay.
All right, can you get in safe mode? You can get in the machine, right? Just blue screens after a certain amount of time?
Right, well, yeah, then I just have to, hard boot it again.
All right, you need to do a driver rollback.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, do you know how to do this? Do you know how to get into the device manager?
Yeah, but do I have to do it from safe mode?
You don't necessarily have to. If it lets you in normal mode, then you can do it from there.
Okay, so rollback drivers.
Roll back to the previous driver, and then see if your problem goes away.
Okay.
And then wait for the next, there'll be another update, like next week.
There was also, the first time it happened, I went ahead and ran, a vast boot time scan.
Right.
And it found a bunch of infected files in Java, and it deleted. I deleted them all.
Good.
And
that means you had an old Java too.
That's about it.
All right. So you need to update your Java.
Okay.
Roll back your video drivers.
Okay.
And see if your problem goes away. Now, if it does, you're going to wait like a week or two before for the next version of that video driver to come out.
Okay.
Now, it was this through like a Windows update, or was this, did you go to the manufacturer site?
I went to the site. My other computer, for some reason, automatically tells me when it needs it, but my main machine doesn't do that. Is there some setting I'm not...
It's in Catalyst.
Right. So in the Catalyst Control Center, you can tell it, hey, I want updates or I don't.
All right. And I was just wondering, just curious, what the other codes were, BCP1, P2, P3...
But those are just generally memory addresses.
Okay.
So the first error is really the only important one.
Okay.
And then the rest of it is just saying what was happening during that moment. So
awesome.
Go get and roll back your video driver.
Hey, I was rolling on the floor at the fedora joke. Have a great day. Thanks.
Right, thanks, man.
It seems funnier to us because we know somebody who wears a fedora.
Hey.
And drives a Prius.
Hey.
And has a Bluetooth usually. Not anymore, because his Prius has...
You know, what's funny is that I've told a few people about the car, and they actually go, are you serious?
Actually, our 1041 salesperson, right. She couldn't believe it.
She was just like, you, of all people.
Is driving a liberal car. That's what she said.
She didn't say that to me, but... I spend a lot of money on fuel.
Yes, you do.
A lot. So this is definitely helping out. And I got the approval, the validation that I needed to keep the car.
Which was?
My daughter loves it.
Oh, okay.
She's just like, yeah, you need to trade your car out for this one.
I've got a bet with Randall that your next vehicle's a Segway.
Segway.
Speaking of Segways. Let's talk about your ship story, because we've already teased it twice.
Yeah, it's a pretty interesting story with the way that they're going to try to refloat it so that they don't have to destroy it.
So years ago there was a Mythbusters episode, right?
Where we couldn't remember what they refloated on Mythbusters.
I believe it was like a tugboat or something.
It was a boat.
Yeah, some sort of small
with
boat.
Ping pong balls.
They did it using ping pong balls, filling it up with ping pong balls because you know they're full of air and air floats in water apparently. So
apparently
I didn't know that until just now reading this story, but
his fart sank.
Oh god.
But, so they want to fill it up with, I think they said upwards of 1 million ping pong balls is what it's going to take to...
I think more.
Now, it probably will be. That's a really big cruise ship.
They can't just go in there and fill it with ping pong balls. They first have to go in there repair the parts to where the ping balls can flow out.
Right.
That would contaminate the ocean for the second time.
Yeah, I don't know that ping pong balls would be much of a, environmental hazard.
Well, I actually, you'd be surprised. I bet you all the animals and stuff
like that. Seagulls like diving down to pick up the,
Yeah, okay. But, yeah, that's an interesting way of doing it.
It is. Actually, this is not a new theory, though. I mean, back when Titanic sank, there was actually somebody who was saying that there's something like, of course, not ping pong balls at the time, but glass balls filled with air did the same thing.
The problem is they couldn't figure out how to get that deep into the ocean.
Right. Now, of course, we can, but in the course of Titanic's, too disassembled to do anything with it.
Right.
So this is not a new theory, and it's been going out for a long time, so if they actually do it, it'll be absolutely amazing. The only other option is they have two other options.
I'm going to check my ship facts report, though, and find out if that's been a flooded vehicle.
The other options are they could either, A, disassemble it on location, take it up piece by piece, big giant magnets to get any fallen debris.
How does work?
Yeah, I don't know. It's magic. The other option, which is actually a cool option, but it's a very expensive loss, is they could actually strip it of all the vital components, all the components that can contaminate the ocean, and just push it off the cliff, because there actually is a 200-foot cliff that it's teetering on.
That really shouldn't be the solution.
No,
push it away.
They could push it off the cliff and be a reef, turn
artificial
into a reef.
Reef
and they do that with ships all the time, and the Navy takes ships out into the middle of the ocean all the time and just sink them.
Did anybody ask the fish if they wanted a new reef?
Well, what about all the fish that it's going to kill when it falls on them?
Yeah, exactly. Here's a new reef, guys.
Nemo!
Oh, sorry. As far as them, do you think it's really viable that they could reuse the ship if they can get it upright again?
It hasn't been down too long, and it's not fully submerged either. Only part of it's underwater.
So they'll just
could
float
they?
It.
Yeah.
They'll refloat it and put it on Craigslist.
Look what they do.
Craigslist.
Like a normal person would do.
Look what they do with flooded cars. They reuse those, so yeah, they can do it.
They shouldn't.
They shouldn't, that's, but they could.
That's all I'm saying.
Do I get a discounted ticket if I go on that ship? I'm not going on the ship.
Apparently, none of them. Yeah, not its ship, any of the sister ships that go with it. they are all plagued.
Well, this right here, exactly. This just proves that you can't go out and say stuff like, oh, it's unsinkable and stuff like that. This thing was twice the size of Titanic, and they were proud of that.
Poseidon will get you every time.
Poseidon will get you.
Every time.
This proves that this thing is a jinx.
Okay. So, the Kony 2012 thing.
The what?
You haven't even heard it, which I find quite amazing, actually.
Yeah,
considering you're doing show research.
What is this?
So there's this group called Invisible Children.
Okay.
That put together a 30-minute video talking about an African warlord that is enslaving children into a young person's militia, and basically has a bunch of 9-year-olds in his army. Now, there's
China does the same thing. It's called Foxconn.
Sorry.
All right, so there's a couple of things wrong with this. Now, first of all, it's been huge on Facebook and on, lots of Reddit stuff.
Right.
It's a big, big story.
Okay.
There's a couple of problems with it.
Mm-hmm.
First one, it's 10 years old.
Yeah.
All right, and then secondly, it's fake.
So they're not children anymore.
Yeah, I thought it was 9 years old.
Yeah, so the problem with it is that it's a social experiment that these people put together.
So
now, people are donating to the Invisible Children group, by the way.
I mean, it's called Invisible Children.
Loads of money, all right? And it turns out that they're not the type of foundation that is required to turn over a certain percentage of money.
Nice.
So they're estimating that only around 25% of the money that you donate to them is actually making it over to Uganda in the first place. Beyond that, it goes to the Ugandan government and probably never reaches the people it's intended to help. Chill out on the Kony 2012 thing.
So the rest of the money is being used to build a giant middle finger, like in the middle of the desert.
Fooled you!
Blinking.
With that guy sitting right on the top. Like.
So the Kony 2012 thing is a social experiment these people put together to see if they can make a 30-minute video go viral. Mm-hmm.
Which it definitely did.
In a huge
40
way.
Million views in like a couple days.
Was it on Equals 3? If it wasn't on Equals 3, it doesn't count.
And the thing is that they're just playing on people's heartstrings.
Right.
And it's unfortunate that so many people are falling for it. You got to be a lot more skeptical when you're dealing with anything when it comes on, and you see it on the internet.
Money.
For that kind of money, though, I mean, next week Computer Guru gets behind a cause. Like, I don't know, that's quite a bit of money.
I would think about these things, but it's those darn ethics and morals that keep getting in the way.
So next week we're going to develop Invisible Gurus?
So just don't give them any money, is first of all. Now, admittedly, they are actually donating money to the Ugandan government to help out with that area of the world.
Right.
But the reason that they're giving it up is first of all, dated. It's a 10-year-old story.
Right.
Right. And secondly, it's a way to get you to give up your cash. So don't do it. And no matter what Facebook says.
So stop that.
Right. Quit it.
No matter what your Mac tells you while you're at Starbucks, don't.
Oh, wow. You're really riding this one.
He is, man.
All right. Okay, that's fine. What's next, man?
Oh, gosh. Well, let's see. We already talked about the iPad and the iPhone. Hey, guess what, guys? AOL might be going out of business.
What? this is news?
Yeah, apparently it is. Apparently AOL, they're laying off another 40 people, so that's half their staff. No, I'm sorry.
Yeah, pretty much.
Here's the thing, though, is that I made that prediction 10 years ago.
We did. Yeah, absolutely. But, AOL has recently acquired... I didn't know this until I read the story, but did you know AOL actually owns some of the blog spots that you go to?
They should not be acquiring anything. Which one are you talking about?
They own...
Don't say Lifehacker.
No. What's the other one?
Gizmodo and Gadget.
They own Reddit.
Gadget.
As long as it's not Lifehacker. Lifehacker's like my favorite website ever.
Well,
so.
Reddit's its own deal now.
Yeah, Reddit is its own deal. But apparently AOL, the new CEO, he's not turning the company around like he was supposed to. How are you going to turn around that company? Their business model is completely ancient. I mean, there's no point to it.
Well, the problem is that AOL is... I mean, they're part of, like, Time Warner and all.
Well,
they
got rid of them, yeah.
So, I mean, they had all this big money behind them
to
support that type of infrastructure.
Right.
To take a loss, they call it the loss leader.
Right.
Right, where you can take a loss on one side of things to make up for it somewhere else.
But they're not. They're not making up for it. The Engadget investment has not paid off for them. Engadget has actually lost, like, 10 writers since AOL has taken over. They're like, I'm done.
Engadget's pretty awesome.
They are.
It just kind of sucks that they're going to go downhill now.
Well, I mean, Engadget won't go away. Engadget will be sold to somebody else or whatever. But, AOL, they're a big surprise to everybody. They might not be around for much longer.
So what are you going to do? Right, if we're talking to people who, like, we had a guy that came into the shop last week.
He's right, I remember that.
Fully ensconced in AOL.
Right.
All right, so what is the solution to for people who are stuck in AOL?
You know Gmail. What? Exactly. You know, a lot of my clients, I've been switching them over to Gmail, and Gmail's made it so easy to do that. I mean, you can simply tell Gmail that you have an AOL account. It'll go out and fetch your AOL email, and then you can then send all your tell all your contacts that this is your new email address. Gmail, in my opinion, is the way to go. Yeah. You need to get away from AOL as soon as you possibly can.
No amount of ping pong balls is going to refloat the AOL
ship.
No.
You're exactly right. Good segue. Yes. Absolutely. There's no way it can happen. It's dead.
Get on the Gmail boat.
I might have to get a segue.
I told you.
You'll be riding around the shop. We have a 1,200-foot shop.
This is the Computer Guru.
That's how I'm going to get one from one side of the kitchen to the other.
Right.
You're listening to the Computer Guru Show. Give us a call, 751-1041. We'll be right back.
Get your questions from software to hardware answered. Call 751-1041.
The Computer Guru
will solve your problem
on 1041, The Truth.
Welcome back to the Computer Guru Show. My name is Mike, here to deal with your technology needs and treat you like a real person in the process. A little bit of confusion here because we've added a guest to the show. And as soon as everybody gets, it's like musical chairs in here right now. It's kind of interesting, but I think we'll all get it all straightened out. So if you'd like to be part of the show, 751-1041. We'll see what we can do to help you out with whatever technology issues are ailing you. And I'm going to welcome the guest into the show right now, Mr. James T. Harris.
I'm surrounded by PCs, man.
Well, there's just an iPad over here.
Okay.
You feel like you're all right. So how are things going, man?
Fantastic. I'm glad to be a part of the crew. I hear you guys on Saturdays. And, gosh, now I'm in the studio and there's so much more high-tech stuff in here.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, we try to keep it high tech wherever we go.
Well, yeah, I guess
you're used to the Mac, so it's high tech.
Oh, it's dark!
Came out swinging.
Nice. All right, so we've got the sort of the ultimate of Mac aficionados over here.
I'm a fanboy.
Yeah, you're a fanboy. And then we got the ultimate Mac hater over here.
I think that it should be called the ultimate Mac troll, because that's really what it's about. It's just those Mac fanboys get so mad when you make fun of them.
You know, I'm already angry with you. I'm looking at your computer and you have the new iPad hands-on little analysis here.
Yeah.
What is this, a pro or positive or negative here?
Actually, I will say that I think the new iPad's pretty cool.
Because that was one of the questions I wanted to ask you guys, because I have the first generation iPad, and I'm looking at, you know, getting an iPad 3, but, you know, the rollout for iPad 3 wasn't as exciting as 1, 2, or any, you know, with Steven Jobs being gone now.
Well, you can only use the same hype game so many times before you sort of get... You get used to it.
Well, you know things are bad when the Wall Street Journal does a report on how bad the jobs report is going to be, and they compare it to the rollout of the iPad 3. That was a little bit disconcerting.
Well, you know, you get to tie the technology into the rest of the world. It's amazing how much technology now is a part of everything that we do.
Absolutely.
And it really, Rob?
You okay over there?
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
Right, so. Oh, baby's got a little gas.
It's all this Mac talk. It's just like,
wow. But it's amazing how this show has transformed over the years, right? So we're 3.5 years into this show. And when I first started the show, I envisioned it as just talking about just technology as a whole, right? And the devices that are involved with that. And it sort of morphed over the years into something where the technology is so interwoven into our lives that we end up talking more about social issues, and we talk about how technology affects people and how they use it, right? And how technology uses them. In some cases.
Absolutely. I mean, on my show, I maybe 20% of the time I'm doing some type of issue that ties into technology, and that's why I hear from you. So I guess it's only fair game that I just come in and bust up your stuff.
Yeah, I was listening in. I heard you call on his show a couple days ago about the solar flare.
Right.
And you know what? That was, it was a complete bust, too. The solar flare, it completely missed
us. I mean, I got superpowers. I don't know about you guys. I flew over to the
station. So we have one more day of the solar flare, and nothing's really happened.
If the thing is moving 4 million miles per hour, I mean, how long can it affect us?
I know, but apparently a week, so. But it really hasn't done anything at all.
That was a big sun fart.
Yeah, no.
So it is a solar maximum this year. By the way, if you'd like to call in and give us some grief and talk to James T. at 751-1041, see what we can do to help you out with whatever your technology issues are. The solar maximum years are interesting, right? Because they only happen every 14 years on the high maximum side. You got a 7-year cycle on the sun, so you've got a solar minimum, solar maximum. It's a pretty interesting thing to see, you know, as far as all the hype involved. You know, unfortunately, the last one was before the year 2000, which would have been interesting if those things could fall together. That would have been awesome.
Coincide with the
I got to buy some generators and extra tinfoil.
Well, this year's it's the whole 2012 thing.
Right.
We already had an end of the world prediction last year, so.
Right.
We had like 3 last year.
It's so mathematically debunked. It just can't even work. But yeah, you know, it's like I had a friend who, 1999, we're sitting here talking, and he's like, dude, it's the end of the world. And I'm like, you're kidding me, right? Absolutely nothing's going to happen. All right, maybe.
Well, what was it? The Y2K thing was supposed to be freaking everybody.
That's what we're talking about, right? So he's like, well, it's those extra 2 digits on the year. It's going to revert back to 1900.
Yeah, computers just won't know what to do.
Everything's going to fall apart except for the Mac.
And of course, Macs weren't really around back then.
Well, they were.
At least not in their present form.
Right. I had like 1% of the share at the time.
Right. Did you hear last week we talked about the share?
Yes. They're up to 6% now, I think. Yeah. Right.
No, they're higher than that. At 12. So the thing is that, nothing, all this tech hype is always just ridiculous, right? And Macintosh uses that tech hype every year, right? As far as, hey, we're going to release
every
this
product release, yeah.
By the way, we've released this, and we're totally prepared for this. By the way, we don't have enough stock.
Well, no, this is part of the same game that Nike plays with the Air Jordan.
Right.
Except you don't have Mac fans out shooting each other to get the...
You just wait in line
very quietly.
You do have them robbing each other in the parking lot, though.
No!
Yes.
We don't... What?
Yeah.
Why?
The first iPad release, the guy got his thumb ripped off.
Right.
Because he had the iPad bag wrapped around his thumb, and some guy came up and snatched it and ripped his whole thumb off.
That was accidental.
Trying to help the guy out to his car.
Yeah. Macs are much different with their whole, religious cult aspect.
Well, it is a religion. It is from God to man.
God said, "Let there be."
I don't know that I'd ever actually heard a valid response to that.
Yeah, well,
I still haven't. Anyway, 751-1041. If you'd like to be part of the show here. How much time I got, Tony?
Yeah, 2 minutes.
About a minute and a half.
Yeah. About a minute. All right, let's squeeze this one in. Robert, how are you?
Hey, very good, thanks. Just recently, I voted for hopefully our new president, and I was given the option of electronic voting. I declined and went with a paper ballot. I just still don't trust the technology. I just want to know if you guys know what any kind of safeguards they have in place to prevent any kind of voter fraud for electronic voting.
Nothing that we could tell you about, really. But, I mean...
We have to get a Democrat in here to talk about that.
They don't have safeguards for actual voting. So.
the next part of this was, is paper really more trustworthy? As far as that's concerned, I would go with the electronic voting just because I don't trust either one of them.
Well, speed and simplicity, and that's the way the world is going. I mean, I think it's kind of crazy that they still have they started the mail-in ballot here in Tucson, where, other parts of the country, you could do it through your iPhone. Sorry.
This is the computer game.
Hey, I think it should be like American Idol. We should just call in who we want and who we want to win.
And thanks for the call. If you'd like to be part of the show, 751-1041. This is the Computer Guru Show right here on 1041 The Truth, Tucson's News Talk FM.